The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Aaron Rodgers. Does anyone want him besides Green Bay? You won't believe what the Packers GM had to say. Plus, the news on Dak that we didn't expect. Will another surgery slow him down? We're all over this story. And the for sale sign is up in New Jersey. Who should make the call and trade for Saquon Barkley? Say what? Yeah, Saquon Barkley up for grabs. It's Wednesday. Let's get up. Good morning, I'm Kevin Nagani. Greeny is out this morning, and it was an incredibly busy day at the Combine, and we'll get to all the football with his crew. Marcus Spears, Mike Tannenbaum, and Jeff Darlington. But first, before we get their thoughts about the big news in the NFL, let's get to the big game last night in the NBA. Lakers at home taking on the Mavericks. Boo Birds, the last time they were out there in L.A. First quarter, Lakers up by three. Look at the defense, Luka. The poke, push, and then beautiful alley-oop. Maxi Kleber with the feel-good finish. Doncic with the incredible vision. Mavs within one. Spencer Dinwiddie missing, but Luka does not. Cleaning it up right there with the feel-good flush. Doncic with 15 in the first quarter. Mavs up 71-56 at the break. Then they were expecting to run, and you got it from the logo. It's LeBron dropping the 3-22-7 Laker run in the third quarter. Feeling it and feeling good. LeBron once again. Another triple. Lakers up by two after three quarters, but Luka simply too much. Working one-on-one on LeBron, and then step back, unguardable baseline. Dallas up by three. 7 points in the fourth quarter from Luka. Turned 23 earlier this week versus the 37-year-old LeBron. The floater, my goodness. Doncic with 25. Mavs win. LeBron with a message afterwards.
Until you stump me out, cut my head off, bury me 12 feet under, then I got a chance. So that's my confidence. As long as we got more games to play, we still have a chance. You know, I hate losing. I feel like poop right now. But tomorrow's a new day, and I'm going to be prepared and ready for the Clippers on Thursday. But that's my mindset. That's just who I am.
Hey, you're never good to doubt the king, but this is a hole LeBron has not seen since his rookie season. That year was the only season in which a James team got off to a worse start through 61 games than this year's Lakers squad, who are now just 2 games up from missing the playoffs entirely. Yeah, we're talking about missing the play-in. We'll talk about the Lakers with Jay Williams coming up later on this hour on Get Up. Let's get to the NFL, where the Packers are still, well, everybody is, still waiting on Aaron Rodgers to make a decision about his future. Yesterday, Green Bay's GM Brian Gutekunst was asked if he expects Rodgers to make his intentions known before free agency opens on March 16th. Listen to this.
I would hope so, yeah. I think that's obviously start of the new league year. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made before that. So that would be helpful. But, you know, I would think we would know something before then.
That certainly would be helpful. Gutekunst was also asked if he's been asked by other GMs about a potential trade for Rodgers. Now, here was his answer.
Not at all, Tom. Not at all. Not a single person.
That little smile, maybe we can read into it. Let's bring in Jeff Darlington, Mike Tannenbaum, and, of course, Marcus Spears. Jeff, let's start with you. What do we know about teams reaching out about Rodgers right now?
Well, first of all, Brian Gutekunst is not necessarily applying pressure to Aaron Rodgers when he has those comments about essentially hoping that Aaron makes his decision before free agency. That is the tenor of everyone here at the Combine. He is going to make that decision before free agency. In fact, the expectation is it will happen soon. By the way, there are teams that are showing interest in Aaron Rodgers, regardless of what Brian says. But we should also point out that those teams are also under the realization that the likelihood is that Aaron Rodgers is going back to Green Bay. So as much as it feels like we'll continue to stir the pot, as we rightfully should, until he makes that final decision, I would say here in Indianapolis, the sense is that Aaron will wind up back in Green Bay.
When you talk about the market, you mentioned the idea that teams are checking in. What are they checking in exactly, Jeff?
Well, it's not as if they're sitting there just throwing their trade compensation against the wall here. They're essentially trying to feel out whether Aaron is going to be available, getting in line if he does become available. But again, Aaron is the one who ultimately would decide that. The Packers have no interest in trading him at this point. So I would say that it's so preliminary that I understand why Brian is saying it as he is. Like, this is not as if Aaron Rodgers is on the trade market. We need to be very clear about that right now.
By the way, we're 2 weeks away from the official start of free agency, Marcus. The timing of this, it feels like Aaron Rodgers holds all the cards. He's the first domino to play out. What do you make of this decision of how long it's taking to come to a conclusion?
I hate it. I hate it. And we can't act like the end of the season was the beginning of the thought process for Aaron Rodgers determining if he was going to come back to the Green Bay Packers. We've been talking about this for 2 years now. That's why we so frustrated as analysts at ESPN, because we keep talking about this, and it's all about what Aaron Rodgers says. Gutekunst can do a press conference. Mike Tannenbaum can get on here and tell you he'd give Aaron Rodgers $50 million to stay. We all know that. All of us are waiting for Aaron Rodgers to determine if he wants to be back in Green Bay or if he wants to play elsewhere. And with all of those things in consideration, there are other parts of business that are going to entail Aaron Rodgers' decision. Gutekunst can say that Davante Adams' situation doesn't have anything to do with that. Do we look like Boobie the Fool? Who the hell are you talking to when you say that don't have a part of the decision-making for Davante Adams? I'm already starting early, fellas, because I knew what today was going to be with Aaron Rodgers. The bottom line is this. He needs to make a decision as fast as possible, because not only is his decision about him, it's about how an organization is going to move forward, and I'm sure it's about how players are going to decide their future with the Green Bay Packers as well. So he needs to say something ASAP.
Mike T, let's get your thoughts here, because if you're the GM here, and Marcus brought it up, it's affecting multiple players and multiple decisions down the road with this team. How are you handling it?
Yeah, Kevin, Swagoo nailed it. Aaron Rodgers is being selfish. Let's make no mistake about it. He is being very selfish, because he's known for a while what he's going to do. And specifically, if he's talking about being a great teammate, let's look at this graphic. When we talk about guys like Preston Smith, Billy Turner, Randall Cobb, these guys all have non-guaranteed money, Kevin. If they are going to be released, they much rather be released on March 2nd than on March 17th, March 18th, because right now there's more money available as teams head into free agency than there would be a week or two into free agency. So Swagoo is saying it exactly right, which is he knows what he's going to do. He's probably known for several months. He should let Green Bay know, because they're at an inflection point. If he's there, a lot of those players are going to come back. If not, they're probably going to reset, and they're probably going to be let go. And while he's made their money, those are consequential dollars to those players. And Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur need to know what direction they're going in.
Marcus, I want you to jump in real quick on this topic, especially with that graphic. You know, Aaron's talked a lot about Davante Adams and securing the bag for him, but the effect on other players, how does that play in the locker room?
It matters, Kev. Like, listen, we all as NFL players like to say, hey, man, that dude contract is his contract and his money is his money and how he operates is how he operates. But when you're talking about such a large portion of the cap and the decision making that they're going to have to make just about Aaron Rodgers, you know moves are going to have to be made from a franchise standpoint. And I get it. Like, I get Green Bay all in. Aaron Rodgers is elite, the MVP of the NFL. I get their patience and waiting to see what he wants to do, because ultimately we know the quarterback is more important than any of them graphics we just put up. But the bottom line is, and I wouldn't be like this. Let me say this as well. I was on SportsCenter after Aaron Rodgers did an interview with Pat McAfee and said he wasn't going to string this out. He was going to make a quick decision so everybody could move on and conduct business at hand. And maybe we aren't at that particular line of demarcation, but to Mike T's point, They got other dudes waiting to see what the Green Bay Packers are going to have available and what the Green Bay Packers are going to do in order to secure their futures and other teams that may be looking for their services. He need to hurry the hell up. That's the bottom line.
I'm really glad we got you jacked up and ready to go here on a Wednesday morning. Yeah, you know, honestly, because it's perfect for this next story. Surprising news yesterday involving the Cowboys and their quarterback, that is Dak Prescott. Dallas head coach Mike McCarthy revealed that Dak had surgery on his left shoulder last week. Listen to this.
We had a cleanup of his left shoulder, so it's something that needed to be done. So he's rehabbing that, but he's, you know, he's starting his process to get back into it. It's not a concern. We have no concern. He's doing well.
All right, back here with the guys. Mike T, it was labeled as minor surgery. There's no minor surgery in anything. You have a concern. Why?
Because he is young and he has been hurt four separate times in a very short amount of time, Kevin. We go back a year and a half. Obviously, the major foot injury, which is catastrophic, that's going to happen. But then if we remember, he hurt his shoulder in training camp, wound up not throwing a lot before they play against Tampa Bay. Then he hurt his calf during the season in the Patriot game. And now we have this. This was supposed to be this offseason of no drama, no injuries, build on the foundation with Kellen Moore and Coach McCarthy. So if I'm Dallas and I see all these injuries, four different injuries since 2019, Kevin, I am definitely concerned because this is my franchise quarterback.
Marcus, your reaction to what Mike T just said as well as this surgery?
Yeah, I understand it. I understand Mike T's concern, but I'm not. The non-throwing shoulder for me is the key. Now, I know we dealt with Baker Mayfield having that issue last year with the Cleveland Browns, but I don't think Baker Mayfield and Dak Prescott are in the same realm as quarterback. And I do believe that Dak Prescott will have an offseason full and available to be able to come back and play at a high level. And let me say this too. We've to Mike T's point, we focused all the attention on Mike McCarthy. We talked about how good the defense was. We talked about all the other players. Amari Cooper contract situation is up in the air. Trying to figure out what we're doing with the defensive players in Dallas. This is the Dak Prescott pressure year. I don't give a damn about a minor shoulder surgery. I don't care about anything else that's transpiring other than Dak Prescott playing at an elite level at the quarterback spot and leading his team to win some playoff games. I know that the offensive line has to be addressed. Every team got things to address. But we've talked about Dak Prescott. We've talked about how good he is and the things that he can do on the football field. It is put up or shut up time. I don't care about a minor surgery on his non-throwing shoulder. Dak Prescott got to play as a top eight, top five quarterback this year if he is going to prove that that contract that Dallas gave him was the right decision to make. You cannot go out in the first round again, bro. Nobody's listening to that excuse, and everybody focus will be on Dak Prescott, not Mike McCarthy play calling, not anything else. This is his season. This is about how far he can take the Cowboys.
To your point, he's got to win a playoff game. I mean, this franchise has to win a playoff game and show some advancement, right? Especially how much you're paying the quarterback and what you're paying the offense with all the weapons here. Jeff, when you look at the track record here with Dak coming off surgery, what concerns you?
The word of the Cowboys at this point when it comes to health updates on Dak Prescott, that's the thing that makes me the most nervous. And hopefully it's nothing. True. But look, on July 27th of last year, this is what they said. It's nothing serious. He'd be out a few days. He didn't resume team drills until a month later on August 25th. I hope it's nothing serious. I'm just saying. I hope it's nothing like when they said it wasn't serious last time because it turned out to be
pretty
considerable when you consider the amount of time that he missed in training camp.
And by the way, we have plenty of time over the next 5 months to dissect this and see how this plays out. But like you said, the track record and what we've seen from the Cowboys and what they've said and how they tried to calm everybody down and then how long it takes for Dak to come back and look healthy, we'll see how this plays out. Coming up here, let's continue the conversation. How about the NFC East and the for sale sign? Is it up in New Jersey? Is it time to trade Saquon Barkley? And who should be on the phone with the Giants right now? And is there any chance of a Tom Brady comeback? And if he does, would the Buccaneers really let him play elsewhere? We're talking about that straight ahead. This is Get Up.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' West Side Story, streaming now on Disney+. Time to run the hurry up with Jeff Darlington. Some news coming out of the Combine as Jeff joins us live from Indy. Let's start with Baker Mayfield. Jeff?
Yeah, hey, look, Baker Mayfield looking like he might be ahead of schedule. He seems to be coming along very well from his left shoulder surgery on January 19th. Original prognosis was about 4 to 6 months. So it feels like at this point we should see Baker by training camp. It doesn't feel like we're going to see any issues there. But, hey, we'll keep an eye on it. So for now, things looking good for Baker Mayfield.
Jimmy Garoppolo undergoing surgery as well.
Yeah, slightly sprained throwing shoulder for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's sidelined until the summer. The interesting part here, of course, Kevin, is how that will impact his potential trade value. Teams will want to know that they're obviously getting a player that has a healthy prognosis. So maybe it pushes it out a little bit, the potential trade. But as long as the 49ers are able to show that Jimmy G is healthy, then perhaps they can make that trade. Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, is open to potential trade, according to Joe Shane, the general manager. But just keep in mind here that Shane made very clear that in this situation, they have to get their salary cap under control. So it is a scenario where Shane will listen to offers, but be very clear on this. I don't think it happens unless it is serious compensation. So yes, everything is on the table for the Giants. Yes, Shane will be responsible about it, but ultimately it will take pretty good compensation to get Saquon Barkley out of a Giants uniform, Kev.
And let's not forget, you know, this is a new regime. They did not draft Saquon Barkley. There's no ties here. Jeff Darlington back here on Get Up alongside Mike Tannenbaum and Marcus Spears. And Mike T, when we talk about Saquon, and running backs and the value, it's completely different from what it was a decade ago. Who should be in the Saquon Barkley market right now?
Well, ironically, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll came from the Buffalo Bills. They're sort of in the one player away mode, Kevin. So Buffalo, to me, comes to the top of the list. Team like Baltimore, where he's a real difference maker. We go back to the Saint game a year ago. Saquon is as dynamic out of the backfield catching the ball as he is as a running back. What's really hard, guys, is this. He just turned 25 on February 9th, but of the 64 games he could have played in, he's only played in 44. So durability is going to be a big question mark. But to me, he makes all the sense of the world. Could you imagine Josh Allen, a healthy Saquon Barkley, and Stephon Diggs? Now you could go compete with Cincinnati. You go compete with Kansas City, and here we go.
Marcus, your thoughts on the idea of Saquon and that connection, a team that, like the Bills, that feel like they're one player away from getting to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I like it. I like the fact that they would look at Saquon, especially with him and Josh Allen in the backfield. I'm not mad at that from Mike Tannenbaum, but oh my God, could you imagine him in Baltimore in that offense and how they use a plethora of running backs to do different things? I like the thought of that as well. Listen, This too. We talking about Saquon Barkley and the New York Giants like they hamstrung. Saquon Barkley should want to get the hell out of New York. I think it's fresh start time. I think he needs an opportunity to go somewhere else and just wipe the slate clean. He's dealt with injuries. He's dealt with being on a bad team as well. And from that rookie season, we all saw what we thought we would see consistently when he came out of Penn State. But I like that thought. Don't get me wrong, Mike T. I love the Buffalo Bill thought, especially running that zone read RPO with Josh Allen and him, how dynamic he is with the ball in his hands and the commitment that they hopefully will make to the run a little bit more than they did last year. But my God, could you imagine him in Baltimore with those lanes and that ability to run and that nervous energy that every defense carries with Lamar Jackson being back there, and you got Saquon Barkley coming at you and J.K. Dobbins coming at you, that would be scary for anybody. And it would save him from overusage, which I think teams have to take a hard look at when it comes to Saquon Barkley as well.
Well, it's a great point with overusage, considering he hasn't been used a lot in the last three seasons. When you look at games started 13-2 and 13, just trying to stay healthy. One thing would be different, a change of scenery. Hey, an actual offensive line. That's the one thing he has battled regardless when he's been in New York. Jeff, are you hearing anything there in Indy about a trade market here coming off the comments from yesterday by the Giants?
No, not yet, and I don't think that we will just yet either. This is, the conversations percolate here in Indianapolis, and Joe Shane basically declaring himself open for business. But at this point, we won't get into the real gritty stuff of that until probably a couple more weeks.
Mike T, as a GM, you're my guy here on GetUp. So what are you going to do? What's the value here? Is this a second round pick, a third round pick? What are you giving up?
Well, if I'm looking at Swagoo, I can give up a second round pick because I don't want to let him down. But in all seriousness, if I'm Buffalo or Baltimore and I'm one player away, I'm really thinking about a second round pick. First of all, it's a lower second round pick. You're not going to get anyone even close to his ability in the draft, especially this year. There's not a lot of good running backs. So I certainly would consider a third, probably would go to a second to get it done. And if I'm the Giants, that's a win-win because I'm in a rebuild mode. And again, I think Swagoo makes a great point. Like when you get an 11-man spacing with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, two quarterbacks that can make plays with his legs, that makes Barkley even that much more dynamic in space. So it's a little bit of a steep price to pay, but I would probably give up the two.
Well, Mike, I got to tell you, listen to Swagoo. If he's Baltimore, he may give up a first for Saquon. So you could hold out a little
That's
bit.
What I was
Saquon, all right, we will see how
I'll
this plays
fired.
Out.
Kev, I couldn't be a GM. They'll fire the hell out of me, man. I'll be done after the first.
Hey, but it would be a fun ride that first year. It'd be a fun ride.
Well, I couldn't play defensive line either, so we're all good.
Hey, man.
Swagoo's team, $50 million over the cap, but we had a lot of fun. Coming up to the Hollywood Horror Show, another rough night for LeBron and the Lakers. Is it possible they won't even make the play-in tournament? We'll ask Jay Williams next. And is there any chance of a Tom Brady comeback? The guy who broke the news that he's retiring is going to join us to talk about, will the Bucks even allow him to play elsewhere?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back here on Get Up, Kevin Negandhi here. Jay Williams joining us with the game of the night. Lakers at home. Last time we saw them at home, the Boo Birds were out. A lot of chatter. Let's pick things up where Woo! The Lakers made a run, led by LeBron, 22-7 here in the third quarter.
Jeannie Buss was even clapping for that shot from the logo. LeBron
had to turn it on offensively on a night where Russell Westbrook couldn't make shots. It was a LeBron James show.
26 points, Lakers up by two, but then here comes Luka working LeBron. Try to defend that baseline.
I love that Jason Kidd and Luka decided to attack LeBron every single possession down the stretch. The Lakers were switching. Luka was seeking the matchup versus LeBron.
Luka, 25-8-5. Mavs win by five. LeBron, though, has a message to everyone after another loss.
Until you stump me out, cut my head off, bury me 12 feet under, then I got a chance. So that's my confidence. As long as we got more games to play, we still have a chance. You know, I hate losing. I feel like poop right now. But tomorrow's a new day, and I'm going to be prepared and ready for the Clippers on Thursday. But that's my mindset. That's just who I am.
Jay Will back with us. Everything LeBron does is
calculated. Before we even start, I just want you to know that the Lakers have not beaten the Clippers yet this year.
That's not good.
Just think about
we're
that.
We're talking about that in
LA.
No Kawhi and no PG-13, right?
Think about that, yes.
Oh, LeBron's calculated. Mm-hmm. And that felt like it was not just a message to the audience and the media. It felt like it was a message to his team as well. What do you take of that game, especially the third quarter burst, and then how it ended in the fourth?
So I said it during the highlights, and LeBron James offensively is doing so much to keep this team in the ball game. And Jason Kidd and the Dallas Mavericks last night start actually pinpointing that matchup. They were switching. Luka sought that matchup against LeBron and started attacking him defensively, which took LeBron's legs away from him offensively down the stretch on a night when nobody else could give the Lakers anything. Here's my concern about it, and this is just me as a real hooper. What we're seeing LeBron James do at the age of 37 is unprecedented, averaging more points than anybody in the history of the game at the age 37 or higher. I'm talking about more than Wilt, more than Karl Malone, more than MJ. And we're watching LeBron James fight for a 9 or a 10 seed. That's what we're doing. And as a hooper, it makes me worry, Kevin, that in these situations where we're asking LeBron to kick things up in March towards the end for this seeding, that's where the knee, the ankle, I get worried about him getting hurt. And it starts to make me think, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, is there a realistic chance that we think the Lakers all of a sudden are going to figure it out and get to the Western Conference Finals? The probability of that is so low. I know LeBron's going to fight, but it doesn't sound like the rest of his team has the same fight.
When you look at the make of this roster, the makeup and how they're put together, the one thing that stands out, there's a sequence that we saw in the second quarter. Third quarter, they came out in the big run. But the second quarter, it sums up the season where LeBron wants the basketball. Look at this. Multiple times, he wants it down low. And everybody's getting their shot.
It's not a bad shot by Malik Monk.
Okay.
What you're saying.
They get the turnover. LeBron's open. What do you make of this where they're still trying it? Monk wants the foul. And then on the other end, Mavs get the fast break finish.
So this is what I'm going to say. You have LeBron James, Anthony Davis when he's healthy, and Russell Westbrook on the same team. It's three Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
You combine that with Carmelo Anthony, four. Dwight Howard, five.
Yep.
I don't need any more excuses. I know everybody's going to talk about Rob Pelinka. I know people are going to talk about Linda and Kirk Rambis. I know people are going to talk about Jenny Buss. Frank Vogel should get fired. You have LeBron James, AD, and when he's healthy, you know, Russell Westbrook and AD on the court. That is enough, Kevin Nagandi.
It is.
That is enough. So he's doing his part. What's everybody else doing? Like, it's that simple for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you and I, we're good enough. Let's do a show.
Yes.
Let's do it. There's no excuses.
Own your role. I'll own my role.
That's what, I hear what people are going to find excuses. I know we're talking about every single day. And I know I can pinpoint defensive situations where LeBron's not into it. But at the end of the day, at 37 years old, he's in this conundrum. Like, you have to start looking at everybody else on this team. Like, yo, what are we have enough talent.
And
stop.
By the way, that highlight reel, that sequence, to show the frustration carries over to the defense.
And they played harder last night than they played the night before. Why are we talking about this team? Why are we praising him for playing harder?
Mm-hmm.
They're the damn Lakers. This is LeBron James. They should play hard every single night.
So with all of that, will they miss out in the play-in? They're only two games up.
I think they'll make it in the play-in. But, I mean, I have no reasonable expectation that this team can go deep into the playoffs. Or they may not even get out of the play-in.
Okay. That would be a huge storyline considering all the hype.
Is it really huge?
I think so. Absolutely, yeah. If
I think actually –
they don't get out of the play-in, that's a huge story.
Which way are they trending?
I agree.
They play the Clippers and they play Golden State, then they go on the road.
But the way this season started, the expectations and the Hall of Famers you mentioned that they put on this team to surround LeBron – and they haven't been able to deliver. Yeah.
This is a Hollywood horror story, though.
Yes, it is.
You called it that. I didn't.
Well said, by the way. Enjoy it. Of course, you got radio coming up.
All day.
Thank you, buddy. Here's our NBA Wednesday doubleheader on ESPN, as well as the app. Joel Embiid and James Harden, the Sixers, hosting the Knicks, 7:30 Eastern. That's Harden's debut in Philly. Then out west, the top team in the NBA. That is the Suns, led by Devin Booker. They take on the Blazers, who are still in that play-in conversation. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. It was a month ago yesterday that Tom Brady announced he was retiring from the NFL. But talk about Brady's return continued at the combine yesterday in Indy. The Bucs are preparing to move on without him, but they aren't completely ruling out number 12 returning either. Listen to this.
I think with a Tom Brady, I personally never want to completely close the door. Now, I don't have any information that suggests that he is going to come back. You know, he's Tom Brady. If a Tom Brady wants to come back, we'd welcome him back.
Oh, that door's never closed. Whenever Tom wants to back, he's back.
Did you envision John Wright's position?
No. Bad business.
Bruce Arians just got done talking. We'll talk to you in a second. You could rest your eyes a little bit more. Let's bring in first Jeff Darlington, of course, who broke the story with Adam Schefter a month ago about Brady's retirement. You spoke to Arians yesterday. What can you tell us about the conversation and a potential Brady return?
Well, first of all, the Bucs are not naive. When you hear them saying that the door is open for Tom, they're not naive to the fact that it is very unlikely. Arians told me exactly that. We talked for a while about it. I talked to Jason Light about it for a while as well. Yeah, they've got Blaine Gabbert. They believe in him. But we have to remember, like, as Arians told me, there's not like some crazy quarterback market out there. And a lot of these guys that are big names, like a Russell Wilson, for instance, is going to require a ton of trade compensation. So if Tom Brady in a few months gets the itch to come back, which, by the way, let me be very clear, that is not the case right now at all. But if that were to happen, yeah, they would entertain it. Of course they would. But let's just all settle down and relax, because it is very unlikely at this point.
Thank you.
I'm talking to Arians and talking to Light, they do know that as well.
You can continue your prayers. Let's just bring in Mike T here on this idea, this concept that if Tom Brady wants to return but isn't a Buccaneer, as a GM, how would you handle it?
I wouldn't want him to go anyplace else. And about a decade ago, I dealt with something very similar with Brett Favre. We had just hired Rex Ryan. We knew we wanted to go young, so we drafted Mark Sanchez. We knew Brett wanted to go to the NFC, so that made it a little bit more like we could live with it. It wasn't perfect by any stretch. And to Coach Arians' point, why would I let Tom Brady go someplace else, specifically like a team like the 49ers who we're competing against? So it is bad business. I would try to recruit him. They're not going to get anybody even close to him. We got to remember, he had one of his best seasons last year despite his age. So I agree with Coach Arians. It would be bad business to let him go anyplace else.
Okay. Marcus Spears. I'm going to just ask you this, okay? Where will Tom Brady be in August?
On a boat. On a damn boat. He'll be on a boat. He'll be watching us on Get Up talk about if he coming back to the league, laughing with Giselle and negotiating with his group to determine what franchise they want to be owners of. That's what he's going to be doing. I get it. I love the wishful thinking. We hate to let the goats go. We knew MJ wasn't MJ when he was playing with the Wizards, but we wanted to see it anyway. And he still could play good every once in a while. We don't want to see him leave. We ain't want to see Wayne Gretzky leave hockey. We see none of that stuff happen. Tom Brady is retired. He is going to be on a boat. Listen, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all. I didn't have nowhere near, I think, stating the obvious, the career that Tom Brady had. But I'll tell you this, that first training camp, when I was able to turn on ESPN and see how y'all make it look all good and all the players are so happy to be there and nobody is hurting, they want to do interviews, everybody is prevalent, I was sitting at home getting my tackle ready to go fishing at Lake Louisville in Texas and thinking to myself, this is the greatest day of my life. even including draft day. Tom Brady will be on a boat, like I said a few weeks ago, in the Mediterranean Sea with Giselle. He'll be fielding phone calls about Denver Broncos ownership, if he could be a part of that group. Derek Jeter just left the Miami team. He might want to buy that. Those are the type of things Tom Brady will be doing when football season starts. It's fun to talk about. I love you, Jeff, but I'm right. I don't want to hear it.
Let me just tell you something. I'm going to give you one sentence here, okay? Whether Tom Brady plays football again or not, he is not leaving the state of Florida. Mm. Okay? You come down to Florida, you don't leave. Listen to that, okay? You don't leave. I'm a Florida guy. You know what it feels like for me to come to Indianapolis? If he plays football again or not, he is not leaving the state of Florida. Put all that San Francisco stuff aside, okay? Just put it aside. He's not leaving
the Mediterranean.
Okay, it's good
to
know.
He's going to go to the Mediterranean.
Now, by the way, Marcus, I just brought up August. He could come back in October for the Bucks, right? He could come back. That storyline will not be going away, Marcus. So settle in and continue your prayers. We'll see how this plays out.
The man about to do a movie.
In Arizona. Another quarterback question. Could the situation between Kyler Murray and the Cardinals actually get worse? We'll discuss. Let's get up. This is next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Kevin Agani back here filling in for Greeny. Get up continues. Let's go back to the NFL and Kyler Murray. Earlier this week, Murray's agent released a lengthy public statement. There was a lot in there, but it comes down to Murray wanting a contract extension. Yesterday, Cardinals GM Steve Keim addressing the situation.
I have not talked to them in a few days, but there's always been current dialogue. The one thing I'll say is in regards to the statement, I know everybody's seen that. I think it's an agent doing his job.
Are you concerned at all if a contract doesn't get done this offseason, the repercussions it might have on the player going forward?
No.
No reason to believe that he would play this season if he didn't have a contract?
No.
So you see Keim's reaction, Mike Tannenbaum, Jeff Darlington, Marcus Spears back here with us on Get Up. Marcus, from a player's perspective, your thoughts on how Kyler has handled this situation so far?
Yeah, listen, I don't know what the conversation was between Kyler and his agent. I know right now it just feels a bit premature to go to this part of the negotiation. We've seen this play out before. Mike T can speak to it. When guys go public, that's usually when things have gotten ugly. That's usually when you don't feel like you've reached the point where it's mutual respect. And that may be the case behind the scenes, but the letter for me felt premature. And then when it comes to Kyler, like, we all understand that Kyler is a tremendous talent, and he has the ability and the opportunity to get even better and help the Arizona Cardinals win games. But there are flaws in this game. There are things that you want to see be consistently better throughout the course of a season before you commit $40 to $45 million to the quarterback. I believe that Kyler is the Arizona Cardinals' future. I think Kyler Murray has the ability to get better as time goes along. But also at this point in your career, 3-4 years in, your agent is already going public with negotiation tactics. I just feel like that's premature. It feels like an act of desperation. Listen, y'all, I'm going to be honest and I'm going to pass the mic. I didn't think it was going to even be a question about Kyler Murray getting a new deal from the Arizona Cardinals. But when this all came out, it makes you think, like, is he nervous about how they view him? Or are they nervous about Kyler wanting to leave and go elsewhere? But the bottom line is, it's too early for me to think that you need to play this out in public, a negotiation with the Arizona Cardinals about the quarterback that's had a really good career up until this point. You've seen where you want him to go from a rookie up until this point. But ultimately, you're making the decision about the next 10 years, the next 15 years potentially. And I think it's just a bit early to be going public with your negotiations.
Mike, listen, you talked about this before. Agents are going to do that. They're going to stick up for their players. That's their client. They're representing them. It's how this went about that kind of ruffles some feathers here as an executive. Your reaction to the letter being posted socially.
Kyler Murray's agent handled things completely unacceptable. And if I was the Cardinals, I would say, hey, we could have great discourse. We could have great discussions. We could disagree. But if you even breathe, look at social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, we will take this offer off the table. You will play this year. We will exercise the option. You will play next year. We will franchise you. We will call you in 3 years. We will not deal with this in social media. What you did was egregious and completely unacceptable. To Swagoo's point, this guy's been extension eligible for about 10 minutes. How about guys like Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield? They have year further into their deals. So to me, let's get the team better. Let's get through free agency. Let's get through the draft. We'll talk to you in August. But it was completely unacceptable how you handled it. And we'll handle it when we want, how we want. We could disagree. There's a deal to be made. He's a great player. We're good with that. But to do that on social media, that will not be tolerated ever again.
And we're talking about Lamar Jackson, who is an MVP, who has had success in the playoffs. So, Jeff, what's the buzz in Indy about this situation?
Well, all right, look, so I talked to Steve Keim for quite a while yesterday about this, just very casually. And to be very clear, the impression I walked away with is that he truly does believe that Kyler Murray is his quarterback. He said he's our long-term answer 100%. There's tons of moving parts. It takes time to figure this all out. And I think Keim's point here was it is unprecedented for a quarterback after their third season to get a contract extension done a month after that season ends. It's just not realistic. That's not a shot at Kyler. He literally needs time to figure out. And these are massive franchise-changing deals. There are a lot of pieces to this puzzle, and he just needs time to get there. But he told me that he plans to get that deal done. He wants to get the deal done. I think from his perspective, he's just trying to calm everything down right now. But Keim truly does believe that Kyler Murray is his future at the position.
Yeah, to Marcus's point, too, this is really the surprise, I think, of the offseason. When you look at where contracts are and the anticipation of extensions, this discourse, especially in the last month with social media and Instagram accounts, like, it's a huge surprise. We will continue to follow it, of course, in the next few weeks as quarterbacks have been the main topic. Also, when we talk about spring, we're usually talking about baseball, and the news is not good. The lockout continues. It's day 91. Commissioner Rob Manfred canceled the first two series of the regular season yesterday after talks collapsed in the hours before management's deadline of 5 p.m. Eastern yesterday. It's the first time in 27 years that a labor dispute has disrupted the schedule.
If it was solely within my ability or the ability of the clubs to get an agreement, we'd have an agreement. The tough thing about this process is it takes both parties to make an agreement.
Players want to play. We all know that. But the reason we're not playing is simple. A lockout is the ultimate economic weapon. The owners have made a conscious decision to use this weapon against the greatest asset they have, the players. But the group won't be intimidated.
Baseball insider Jeff Passan joining us now with much more. So, Jeff, Monday night I was feeling a little bit good. Yesterday afternoon I was severely depressed in this conversation. We talked to you about this on SportsCenter. And then you have a column coming out on ESPN.com later on today. And you're bringing up optimism about the sport returning and returning soon. Why?
Look, Major League Baseball has a lot to lose here, Kevin. And the reality is we have seen a scenario before where they go through a three-week spring training. We have seen scenarios before where they scramble to put together a season and do so on the fly and play extra doubleheaders and do everything they can to get it done. That was 2020. And the idea that Major League Baseball is going to miss opening day because Rob Manfred says that he's canceling opening day 30 days before opening day actually is set to begin, I just think they are close enough where if they were to sit down and actually start listening to each other, start trusting each other a little more, and I know that's hard to do with all the animus between the sides, but try and get to a point where each understands what the other truly wants and truly needs, they can get to a deal here. This is not like 1981 when the players went on strike because they were worried about a compensation pick messing with free agency. This is not 1994 where they went on strike because they had the salary cap. This is very simple. This can get done.
In any fight, emotions play a big role here. And yesterday we saw the divide from both statements, right? From the commissioner's office as well as from the players' union. How are the players? You talk to players. How do they feel about where the negotiations are going with Major League Baseball?
Oh, they're pissed. Like, that's very simple. I mean, the number of texts that I've gotten from players of anger, of disappointment, of disillusionment. And by the way, Kevin, it's not just players. This is everyone in the industry. This is executives. This is managers. They look at this, and a lot of them are on the players' side.
Mm.
And it's awfully interesting to see that dynamic there because I think each of them feels like we should be playing baseball right now and we should be getting a deal done, and it's incumbent on MLB to do that.
You mentioned being ticked off. It's not just everybody else around the sport. It's stadium workers, it's fans, of course, and that bottom line, the people that support the entire industry. Jeff, thank you so much. Let's hope we have some optimism. Your article coming up on ESPN.com later on today. Coming up, is the cheese starting to get stale in Green Bay? What is taking Aaron Rodgers so long to make his decision? Our analysts are fired up about that topic.